Hallelujah. Thank you. Glory to God. What an honor to be here. I don't take it lightly. And as I always say, if God can use a donkey, he can surely use me. And so we don't take the credit. We know that the credit is to him. And tonight, I don't know if you realize, but he's keeping sometimes a famous person. Right now, people are crazy with the soccer and everything. And people go very excited. But tonight, there's one captain, the captain of the host, and he's right here. And something's going to happen, so I'm going to invite you to pay attention, to be ready, to open your heart, because there's a word that God is bringing to you. I would like you to go ahead and get your Bibles, and please, again, you need to have this word, because if you don't have it, and if you don't read it, you're not going to be able to face the future. You need this book. So go ahead and open it if you have one. And if you don't have one, share with the other person in the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And I'm going to open in a word of prayer. Jesus, you are here. I acknowledge you, God. And Father, I don't know how to speak, but you know how to speak. I don't know what to say, but you know what you want to say to your people. Because tonight, you have a divine appointment, Lord Jesus. So I ask you that you will use me, God, the foolish thing, so you can confound the wise, God. So right now, I put myself in your hands, God. And I trust you that you are going to use me for your glory alone. Open the ears, open the hearts. I come against any attack of the enemy. I come against any blockage of the enemy in their mind. We cast it out in the name of Jesus, and we set them free to receive what you have for them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The scripture reads in Acts 8:26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch who was a court official of the Candace, who was the queen of the Ethiopians, and he was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran up to him and heard him reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the title of my message is A Divine Appointment in the Desert. A divine appointment in the desert. Hallelujah. How many of you believe in divine appointments in here? Okay, me too. Tonight, this is a divine appointment. Maybe you're like, well, I didn't know where to go. I'm here just to relax. I'm telling you, with God, there's no games. God is very serious, very specific. And today you have a divine appointment with the Lord. The Bible says that God told Philip to go to a certain place. And we wonder, who was Philip? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Philip. Philip was an amazing guy. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he loved the word of God. And he was hanging out with Jesus, and one day Jesus tested him, and he said, "Hey, Philip, what are we going to do to feed all this multitude?" There were like more than 5,000. But Philip, you know, he was growing. He was a man in a process. And he started looking at the natural, and he saw his resources, his ability. And he told Jesus, "Jesus, with 200 denarius, we cannot even give a little bit to every one of them." But now, I have a question. How many of you know that Jesus knows everything? So, Jesus knows everything. So, you wonder, why is he asking me my question? Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus asks you questions not because he doesn't know. He asks you questions because he wants you to know. What do you know? He wants you to expose yourself. He wants you to open up and be aware of your inabilities, that you cannot do it in your own. And at that moment, Jesus came, and there was a little kid who came with a lunch, gave the food to Jesus, little few fishes and bread, and Jesus multiplied it. And he fed the whole multitude, and there was even food left over. Later in his encounter with Jesus, Philip, one time Jesus told Philip, and he said, that in order to bear fruit, the grain had to die. And that is difficult, you know, when you're thinking like, wow, in order for me to be able to produce, I have to die? Because so many people have a lot of questions. We question, why? Like the song the choir sings, they go like, why, where, when, who? These are worlds I wrestle with. I even wonder if you care. And a lot of people have questions, especially if you're single. You wonder, Lord Jesus, who, where, how, when, you know? You're wrestling with these questions. And if you're already married, you want to get rid of your husband or wife. And you said, God, when? Where? How? But no, if you have your bagel, keep your bagel. Toast it for cream cheese, whatever, but you keep it. You cannot be exchanging in here. But Philip had to learn that he needed to die. And the thing is this, that when you die, you no longer can ask questions. You go to the funeral, you go to the dead person and you ask questions, how are you? He's not going to answer or she's not going to answer. And if they answer, they are alive. So Jesus wants us to die so we can bear fruits. And this is what happened with Philip. He died to himself. And when you die to yourself, you start trusting in the Lord. You don't ask questions. God, what's going on? No, you trust him. And Paul said in the Bible that we need to die daily. So this is not an event that I already died 3 years ago. No, there's some days I wake up dead and I say, Lord Jesus, wherever you lead, I shall follow. I'm in love with you. And there's other days that I wake up and I'm very alive. And I'm saying, why, where, when, who? And I go back and I have to give it to the Lord and I have to trust him. Because, you know, God knows everything. He's perfect. He has his time. And so with Philip, he went, he got crazy about Jesus, and he was sold out for Jesus. And Jesus had given them a commandment to go and tell people, not only the Jewish people, but he said, go to Samaria, go to the ends of the world. But other people were just staying, you know, with the people that were familiar. But Philip went to the Samaritans, told them about Jesus, and people started getting saved. It was an amazing time. And all of a sudden, God tells him, hey, come. I want you to go to a desert road by yourself. And he could have wondered, said, but God, I mean, everything's going great in here. Why do I have to go and by myself and to a desert? But he did not ask questions because he was already dead to himself, you know. Jesus was already, his spirit was alive and his flesh was dead. So he went, the Bible says in here that he went to that south road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And that was like around 30 miles he had to walk, okay. So he had to walk, and God didn't tell him for what, but his ears were attentive to the Lord, waiting for the instructions that God was going to give him. And then sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. God is specific. But I tell you, I know some of you are wondering, you've been waiting, and you're like, what's going on, God? But I'm telling you, the Bible says that God does everything perfect in his time. In his time, he makes all things what? Beautiful and perfect. That's what the word of God says. So now let's go ahead and talk about the other person that he was going to encounter. The Bible says that on the same road, there was a man traveling from Ethiopia, a very far land. And this guy, he was a treasurer. So he had a great job. You know, he was making a lot of money. He was in charge of the treasures of a queen. So you can imagine he was exposed to so much beauty. He must have been a man with a lot of taste, intelligence, design, and very worth trusting. You know, somebody that you could trust. Because you don't give just your treasures to somebody that can steal from you. But yet, this man, even though he was exposed to so many beautiful things, he was unsatisfied. And the truth is that maybe you're thinking, oh, if I get married, or if I have a child, or if I move to another place, if I have a job, if I do this, get this career, I will be satisfied. But in the scripture, there's a man called Solomon who had everything. He had all kinds of riches. He had all possessions. He had wisdom. And he had wives, more than 900. He could pick up and say this one, But at the end of his life, he says, you know what? Everything is vanity. This is vexation of heart. He was unsatisfied. And that's what happened with absolutely everyone in here. Nobody can satisfy you. And this man, the Ethiopian, was unsatisfied. But he heard that there was a God, the God of the Jewish people. And he heard about his holiness, his righteousness, his goodness, his mercy. And he was interested. And tonight, if you're searching for that God, if you're tired of what you had, if you're empty, and if you're searching, I can tell you that you are right here in the right place in the will of the Lord. Now, this Ethiopian man had another aspect that is very important that we have to mention. And this aspect made him feel inadequate, because this Ethiopian man, at times, he felt like he was just like less than a man. And the reason is because he was a eunuch. You see, his position as a treasurer of the queen had required him to be castrated. The very thing that gave this man status and importance had also robbed him of the opportunity of being a father, having children, and having a legacy. And many of us tonight, we feel just like the eunuch. We feel inadequate. And you wonder, what good's going to come out of me? Maybe you are struggling with issues that you may feel shame to talk about. And maybe nobody knows. Maybe something happened to you many years ago. It is right here and nobody knows. But you're carrying it in your heart. Right now we're living in a generation that the devil has come to rob. You know, many people right now are struggling with their identity. Am I a complete man? Am I a complete woman? Many of them were stolen from their innocence. Other people got involved in actions that they never thought it was going to take them to another step. And that now they feel hurt. They feel lonely. And the devil comes and accuses them and says, oh, look who you are. You're so low. How could you do that? And he blames you. And the devil lies to you and tells you, you know what? For them, yes, but you, well, you really went deep. There's no hope for you. And we feel abandoned, abused, rejected, unwanted. The Bible says that indeed the devil has come to kill, to rob, and destroy. But also the Bible says that Jesus has come so you can have life and life eternal. Hallelujah. The eunuch got very interested in God, but then he had to face reality. Because you see, before Jesus died on the cross, there was the law, and the law was a set of rules. And if you will break one, you will break them all. And so he was excited to look for God, and he started most likely reading the law. But all of a sudden, he found a scripture in Deuteronomy 23:1. And that scripture clearly stated that those who have been caught of their private members could not be able to enter in the congregation of the saints. So now he's trying to look for God, but he doesn't qualify. He can never be part of the congregation of God. So now he feels left down. And that is the truth, because absolutely everyone in this room are in the same position as this eunuch man. You can think that you can try to do good things, you can come to God, but absolutely anyone, no one can come to God in their own merit. The Bible says, for all have sinned, they come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that there's no righteous, not even one. And if you break one commandment, you broke them all. And the Bible also says that the recompense, the payment that you get for the evil things that you ever did, even if you did one little thing, is eternal death. But I thank God that he saw the cry of those people that had no hope. And God said, no, not anymore. I'm sending my son. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's the most amazing demonstration of love, that God would come and give this very son because he knew you couldn't make it. Hallelujah. This eunuch didn't know that information, had no idea, but he wanted to be closer to God because he admired him. And he said, you know, I cannot enter into the congregation of the Lord, but I'm going to travel. And from his country, he did a long trip and he went to Jerusalem. At least he wanted to be closer. But you know what? He had a longing. And I tell you, if tonight you have a longing for the Lord, he's going to meet your need. Because God is not about numbers. He says that he's the good shepherd. He will leave the 99 sheep and go for the one that is missing. And if in this place there's only one person, Jesus will come and die for you and give his life. Because he truly loves you. Nobody loves you like him. So there he goes. God sees the cry and the hunger and the longing of this Ethiopian man. And he sent a wonderful guy. He sent Philip, because Philip loved to share the word of God with whoever he found in his way. This guy was so amazing. In fact, this Philip, he saw the miracle of the multiplication of bread. And guess what? At that time, he was in charge of a feeding program. So I believe that he would live in New York. He would come to Times Square Church and he would be involved with Feed New York, Child Cry, Pass the Bread, because he already seen the multiplication. So he's like, God's going to supply. A man full of faith and hope. He meets the eunuch. The Bible says in verse 32, this is what the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to be killed, and he was silent as a lamb whose wool is being cut off. He did not open his mouth, and in his humiliation, he did not receive a fair trial, for justice was denied. And who can describe his descendants or generation, for his life is taken away from the earth? The eunuch started reading about a man that was beaten, a man that was taken advantage of, a man who has suffered more than him, a man who carried his own griefs. And he says, oh my goodness, he identified with me. He couldn't have children either. He was taken away from this earth and he was longing. I tell you what, Jesus may not answer all those fleshy questions that you may have, but when you ask questions about him, immediately he's going to send somebody. Whatever it takes, he's going to bring somebody to you, even if you're in the desert, because people don't travel in deserts really that many of them. But God sent Philip to see this man, and Philip came right on time. See, God is so perfect. It says in here, the Bible says in verse 34 that he asked Philip, about whom, may I ask, does your prophet say this? About himself or someone else? And the Bible says that Philip began to speak, starting with the scripture, and proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. He said, you know, this is not a prophet. The prophet didn't give his life for you. The prophet wasn't beat up for you. It was Jesus. Jesus came. He suffered. They beat him up. They did injustice to him. But he loved you. And in fact, I knew Jesus because I was his disciple, and I saw him healing the brokenhearted. I saw him giving sight to the blind, restoring the body of somebody that couldn't walk. He's amazing. He loves you. He went and died on the cross, and on the third day he rose, and he's coming again. And he said, you have access to God now. There's a way for you. The eunuch was, he couldn't believe it. And the Bible says that from that scripture, using the book of Isaiah, Philip started sharing and sharing more things. Now, I wasn't in there, obviously. You weren't in there, obviously. But the Bible says that they were reading the book of Isaiah. I don't know if the eunuch read this at that time with Philip, but he kept reading, I'm pretty sure. And look, there was some other scripture that God had left with a promise for that particular man. Today, this book that I love so much has hundreds and thousands of promises. One for you specifically, for your specific need. But there's one devil that doesn't want you to read this. Because if you read this, you will be set free. And he wants you to continue to be in bondage. So I invite you to open this scripture and read it for yourself. And look at the scripture that God was talking to this eunuch man. And that is found in Isaiah chapter 56 verse 3. Says, neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuch who keeps my Sabbath, who chooses the things that pleases me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them I will give them in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than sons and daughters. And I will give them everlasting name that will not be cut off. I don't know what is your reality today. But Jesus is saying the very thing that you felt you would never have hope. Oh, I'm going to make it greater things. This eunuch could have never enter into the congregation of God if Jesus would have not made a way. And not only Jesus made a way, he said, within my house, inside, I'm going to make a monument. And your name is going to be there and forever and ever. This is a promise that God has for you. He's going to give you life everlasting. He's going to give you a name that nobody's going to cut off. He's going to give you prosperity, blessing, if you would choose to come unto him. Just like the eunuch, he had to realize that he was in need, that he was lacking, but that Jesus made a way for you if you come and you repent and you receive the Lord. The last thing that I want to read is found in the verse 36. And it says that as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized? You see, there was no more blocks. Before, it was an impediment that was blocking him from coming to God. But now Jesus had made a way. And now he grabbed hold of the promises of God. And he said, what stops me from being baptized? Well, nothing could stop him. Because God had already made a way. And this man came and got baptized. And when he got baptized, he was just making an outward declaration that he was going to follow Jesus for the rest of his life. As soon as he got baptized, the Bible says that the Spirit took Philip and he disappeared. But the Bible says that this Ethiopian man went rejoicing. And he was from Africa. So I know my African brothers in the choir, they moved, they jumped. He was rejoicing. And I tell you, when you let Jesus in your heart, you're no longer sad. You may have your sad days here and there, but you are rejoicing. You know who is your deliverer. You know that this earth not going to last longer, that you're going to have a place like we were singing. Meet me over there. We have a home. We have a new mansion with our name. We have a new name. We're going to have a crown. We're going to be in the presence of Jesus forever if you will invite him. So I'm going to ask the musicians to come to lead the worship. And I'm going to invite you to stand up right now. If you are like Philip, maybe in the process of asking the whys, how, where, who, when, you know, and you need to die to yourself, come and die. The sooner that you die, the better. Because I tell you what, Philip got married. He had four daughters. He wasn't wondering. You see, God has everything arranged. So don't stress out. Instead of wasting your time and die, what's going to happen, you waste years and maybe you could evangelize in other people. Wait upon the Lord. Rest in him and have fun. Enjoy life, you know? And for those who don't know Jesus, maybe you feel like the eunuch, you're lacking some areas. You feel, God, I need restoration in this area. Some people even struggle with gender issues. The enemy planted a seed and is following you and nobody knows. And you know. But I tell you, I expose the lie of Satan in the name of Jesus. And I tell you that there is freedom, there is deliverance, and that there is healing. Maybe you're struggling right now with a sickness. You wonder, God, will you heal me? The healer is here right now. Of course he wants to heal you. He has a purpose in everything. He has come to set the captive free. So as the musicians play, I'm going to invite you to come into the front. God is about to give you something. He only gives to those who want to receive. I'll tell you, when something's free, I reach, especially from Jesus, I want everything. Give me more. And he doesn't mind you taking things home. Take as much as you can. Come into the presence of God. He's going to heal you tonight. He's going to restore you tonight. He's going to change you. Come, give your heart to Jesus and say, God, I need you. You need to come to him. Be like the Ethiopian man. Let him restore you. Don't be ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed. Anyway, all of us are in the same boat. Nobody here is better than nobody. Nobody in here, including our pastors that look really nice. All of us, a bunch of sinners. But we are all a bunch of people delivered and set free. Because for Jesus, there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there is no African, American, Hispanic. There's nobody. There's only souls. So I invite you to come right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come and lift up your hands right now. Father, you know our name, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Father, you are doing surgery right now, God. Father, deep in the hearts, God, of your people here, God, that you love so much, that never were told that they are loved, but tonight they're finding out that you long for them. Even if it would be only one, you will have done your sacrifice. I'm going to invite you to receive the Lord and to repeat with me. Pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you for forgiveness for all the bad things that I have done. I ask you, God, that you will fill me up with your presence. I thank you that you died on the cross for me, a sinner, an offender, an undeserving person. But today, I receive you in my heart, and I ask you that as you enter, that you will heal all the areas of my life. I ask you, Jesus, that you will seal me with your Holy Spirit and help me walk with you daily, and that I'll be looking for you because you're coming soon. I thank you for dying on the cross and for suffering for me. I welcome you, Jesus, into my heart and write my name in the book of life. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And for the ones that need healing right now, Jesus wants you to believe in him. You see, he doesn't like unbelief. When we're doubting, why would you do it? But he wants to do it. If you would just want him to do it for you. And I know that some of you are suffering many diseases. So I'm going to ask you to lift one hand and the other one touch the area where you need healing. See, God wants to do it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, see every person in this place, God. Father, you see their pain, their anguish. Only you can come and restore them, Father. The man said, help my unbelief, Jesus. So, Father, we're crying out, help our unbelief. I ask you, Jesus, oh my dear Jesus, that you will reach your hands, God. I ask you right now, God, that you will come and bind every sickness in this room right now, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, God, that you will break the powers of darkness, God, that are bound in everyone in here with a disease, God. And we ask you, God, that they will be set free in your name, Jesus. For there is power in your name. Hallelujah. I ask you, God, that you will flow. Flow, Lord Jesus. Move, Heavenly Father, I pray. I ask you, God, that you will anoint everyone in here, God. I ask you that you will start touching every single cell of these bodies right now, God. Right now, God. Open ears, open eyes, God. Oh, Father, take away any cancer, any problem with the lungs right now, God. I expose every sickness in this place, God. And I declare that there's healing in your name. I declare that you are able. I declare that I believe you, Jesus. I believe you. Come on. Start opening your mouth and start receiving and say, Father, thank you. Come on. Open your mouth and say, thank you, God. You're able to touch me. Oh, hay poder en tu nombre, Jesús. There is power. There is power in your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, flow, Holy Spirit. And I ask you for people that haven't been baptized with the Holy Ghost, God. I ask you that you will flow over them, God, and baptize them, and strengthen them, Father. I ask you that you will give them a hunger for your word, a hunger for your presence, God. Wake them up in the night. Speak to them, God, and start making a healing in their hearts, in their minds, in their emotions, God. For the people that are waiting, even people waiting for their future husbands, God, they're consumed. They feel lonely, Lord Jesus. They feel hurt, God. They feel sad and alone. Father, they want to be comforted, God. I ask you that you will show them that you are the comforter, that you are their real husband. Father, that you embrace them, wake them up, give them a beautiful morning, and let them know, Father God, you are there waiting for them, Father, like in the sons of Solomon, God. Father, restore. Father, I ask you that you will cast out every lie in their imaginations, saying that they need to seek something else to be happy. That's not true. We expose the lies of the enemy. We expose it. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only you that are the bread of life. We thank you. I want you to say thank you to Jesus. He is good. Give it a clap.